Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Kristen, her mom.
And we're going to be covering Game of Thrones, Season 8, Episode 3, The Long Night. And that's it. We're only doing one today.
Which is pretty exciting for us. Although we did do just one not that long ago, so whatever. But yes, we're covering The Long Night. We have our usual disclaimers. It's disclaimer today. And they include that there's gonna be cursing, for sure. There will be probably spoilers, though I guess fewer, other than potential bitching about future episodes.
For sure.
And we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink?
I'm having a vanilla milkshake because of White Walkers and snow, which I don't know.
Wow. That's kind of sad.
Wow, Mom, do you want me to be an alcoholic? No.
No.
So let's just enjoy the fact that I'm in college and I'm drinking responsibly.
You are drinking responsibly. I am not drinking responsibly. I had a number of choices from the Game of Thrones cocktail book that I could have done for this. I've done a couple of them already that would have been appropriate, like, you know, The Night is Dark and Full of Terrors. There were a bunch of things that I've previously done. That would be The Long Night Shot. I've done that. Night King, all of that. I am doing something called A Shot of Fire and Ice. And honestly, I need to take another picture of it before we get too far along with this. But what it calls for, it's supposed to be just a shot, right? Like, you know, that's what it's supposed to be. But I didn't do it that way. So what I ended up doing is I put 2 ounces of Fireball, a little bit of grenadine, and an entire Smirnoff Ice in a glass. It's supposed to have a rim of crushed peppermint. I could not get the peppermints we got to crush properly, so screw it, that didn't happen. But you know that's how things go. But it is actually, I kind of was worried that it was gonna be gross or like super sweet or whatever. I'm liking it, so there we go. It is very bright, and I'm sure you can see it on the video, so it is bright looking and it is tasty, so who knew. There you go, the answer. So what do we have sections for this?
I mean, a single section is Winterfell and that is it. I guess I'll take the lead on this one. I'm kidding. You will get to butt in at some points.
Maybe if you let me, you know, we do.
You're the one taking the picture right now, so maybe I should start.
I just want to make sure that we include the Night King in this because, you know, the Night King. There we go.
All right. Okay. All right. Anyway, let's get started with season 8, episode 3, The Long Night. At Winterfell, shocker, Sam is preparing for battle and is nervous, like everyone is. Like, he's getting armed, he's getting ready, and he feels like he's gonna die, like most people do.
I really like the way they shot this. And I know I'm interrupting like early on, but I don't know if you were gonna comment on the shoot on how this was shot. Were you gonna comment on that?
That follows each character, kind of, but not really.
It kind of does. And you get to see like the backgrounds, like in the background, you see Lyanna Mormont telling where people where to go. So you get a sense of what all of our heroes are doing, even if you're not actually following that person. Proceed.
People are being moved to the crypt. This is kind of happening in the background. Bran is being taken to the Godswood by Theon and passes by Tyrion, who is not below ground yet, but not dead. But like, you know what I mean? Like he's not in the crypts yet.
But he grabs a flask of wine is because Tyrion drinks and he knows things.
What else is he gonna do? Davos prepares the arrows on the battlements, preparing all the archers for what they're going to have to face. Sansa and Arya are also on the battlements waiting to see the army. I have a question. Why hasn't Sansa already gone down to the crypt?
Well, there's an idiotic discussion later about that.
We'll talk about that when it gets there, but that was my question.
I agree with you. It's like, why aren't the people who are supposed to be in the crypt? What the fuck is
going on? Yeah, you already decided, Tyrion, that they've already decided you're going to be in the crypt. Just get to the crypt. I understand you want a flagon of wine. Fine. Bring it. But like, Sansa, what are you doing? You are not helpful in the slightest.
Yeah. And I want to point out too, we didn't see much of this, like the head Karstark girl.
She goes, she's with Theon. Yeah. She's randomly there. We we don't see her ever again. I assume we'll talk about that later. go on the front lines with Jorah is Ghost. Which, God. I mean, I don't know how to feel about that. I kind of wish the Ghost was kind of like hanging out back at Winterfell, like guarding Sansa or like Arya or somebody.
Yeah.
And obviously he can't like protect Jon because Jon is going to be off doing dragon stuff. So, I mean, like, keep it with a Stark at least, or give him to, no, don't give him to Bran. He's a walking death trap.
He has killed all direwolves who have been near him, so that is a bad.
That is so true.
But I agree, like, Sansa is wolfless. Arya's wolf is outrunning Bran.
Take him down, you know, to the what I would have to, like, loved? Defend them.
And here's a spoiler. What I would have loved if Nymeria and the other wolves had shown up for this. This would be fucking awesome.
Oh, like, are you kidding? You showed us that in the woods for what? Like, I'm so confused. I wish Arya was just like, okay, I'm going to go off into the woods. Don't worry about me for like an hour. And then like, she like runs off into the woods, finds Nymeria in the pack. And is just like, hey bro, come with me. You know, we need help. Or they have been already been added to the Army of the Dead or something, like anything to like give any. I wish they wouldn't be, but like I wish that Nymeria was there. And I understand the idea of I'm going home and her being like, yeah, no, that's not you anymore. However, the fact that she doesn't come back is like, what? I mean, she could be a great Deus Ex Machina. Like, just kind of like bring her back.
I don't know. There are a lot of things about the wolves that I find very interesting. And we don't get to see, in my opinion, enough of Ghost in this episode.
We don't see any Ghost, really.
I'm glad we get at least, you know, a look at what Ghost is doing. Because we do get to see Ghost with Jorah a little bit. In the episode. And I love that.
Then
Ghost is lined up with Jorah. You hear that kind of the icky screaming and the whispery kind of, you know, like weird noises that the White Walkers make.
Jon and Daenerys are watching from a cliffside that is randomly there with the dragons, and a rider shows up out of fucking nowhere, and it's right. Melisandre. How the fuck did you get through? Like, did you come from where you wouldn't be surrounded by whites and White Walkers or generals or the Night King on a fucking ice dragon? Like, why, how did you even get through? Why did they let you through?
And like, Davos recognizes her very early on from a distance. And he goes down, and you know, she goes forward, and she meets Jorah, and she asks, you know, do you speak their language? Talking about the Dothraki, because the Dothraki are the way they got lined up. They've got cavalry, which Jorah's with the cavalry, which is the Dothraki, and then you've got the Unsullied behind them, you know, kind of arrayed in front of these kind of pits that they have set up,
trenches
and then, you know, there's no one really behind that yet, but then there's the wall, and then there are people who are inside the walls of Winterfell.
Well, let me be specific about the trenches. The trenches have these like spikes of wood that are inside of them waiting to be lit, and so just in case, so we'll see how that goes later,
right? But so yeah, she tells part of the plan. They have a plan for, you know, like signals to get those lit and everything else.
She tells the Dothraki to lift their swords, and she lights all of them on fire, like a Beric Dondarrion kind of deal. My question is, why didn't you do this countless times before?
I don't know, but it is a super cool effect, especially for this
episode. For sure.
One of my biggest complaints about this episode, and I know it's everybody's, is it's so fucking dark.
It is so dark. Like,
I see what's happening.
I remember watching it for the first time and not like really thinking about that. But it makes sense why they couldn't do it during the day, because also like, where's the effect in that? Like, you're just seeing them like run around, and also that's way more on the CGI budget. But like, I think that it didn't need to be that dark. Yeah. Like, you could have had like the dragons light like some pits on fire, like over the, just like maybe some bonfires, kind of like what the Boltons did, where they have the flayed men, but like you could just have like bonfires to light the way, and so you could. To also like, also, why didn't they like dig trenches over, like more outward?
They didn't have time.
True,
And
but
they, because
think
they
about
have these,
it.
the trench that they have goes all the way around Winterfell. It's not just in the
That's true.
front,
That must have taken a
all the
long
way
time.
around. And that
But
did
still, I
everything.
think they could have used the dragons way more when like lighting things up beforehand, so you didn't
Oh,
have to worry about this shit.
but we are gonna bitch about like some of these strategic things
I
that did
know.
not go.
Anyway, Davos is upset that that Melisandre is there, but he lets her in through the gates anyway. He goes to her and she said,
I do like that when she passes Grey Worm, she says Vala Morghulis, and he responds,
Valar Dohaeris, yeah.
it's like, yeah, baby, we know why we're here.
He goes to her and she says there's no need to execute her because she will be dead before dawn, and that bodes well for everybody, doesn't it? And Melisandre then makes very uncomfortable eye contact with Arya for no reason. Like, I understand the last time Arya saw this woman was when she took her best friend away, like to go be leeched. So I'm
I've
sorry.
never had leeches before.
I love that fucking line so much. Was that your first time? Yes, it was the first time someone put leeches on me.
I love Gendry. I
I'm
do.
Gendry,
I
and
love.
we don't see enough Gendry in this episode. It
We
makes me
do not.
mad. I
Definitely
just
not.
like he. We don't get a cool like hammer swinging moment. Like, what the fuck?
We get
Anyway,
a little bit. We get a very little bit of
very
Gendry.
brief, very
But yeah.
brief. Anyway, then the Dothraki Jorah ghosts charge at the army of the dead, but are then like they. The way things are like set up is that you're mostly seeing it from Daenerys and Jon's perspective, seeing like the lights from the swords or the scythes or whatever, the curved swords,
Rocks.
whatever. They're like all running towards the army of the dead. I don't know why you would send every single one of them out there at all. Like, I don't understand why they did that, but okay.
I don't either. I kind of would have waited for the whites to get to you, but I do like that we get to see the ghost is just as fast as any of these
Oh
horses.
yeah, for
You go,
sure.
ghost.
Go
You
ghost. And like so they are running all of every single one of the Dothraki, all like however many thousand of them that went with Daenerys are running towards, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing, but they are running towards them, and then their lights go out like really sporadically, like all the lights until all of them like have burnt out, or have been smothered by like the whites or something, and there's just like silence and like nothing. You can't see anything, which I think adds an element of suspense that I like. I'm glad that in some ways I'm glad there aren't like bonfires showing you what's happening and all that stuff for this part at least. But
Right. It's scary as hell because it
it's
goes
scary.
completely silent.
Oh yeah, and then you hear like a few things here and there, like screams and like Dothraki yells a few times, and then there's like this horse that comes back, and then like slowly some of the Dothraki and including Jorah all like make their way back, and I'm just like, okay, well you guys kind of just gave up, even though your only job was like, I get it, I totally get it. You want to make sure that at least Jorah's okay, but
Yeah.
like you just have like a couple people come back and like retreat, and there was no mention of. It, like then there's this one moment of who does he make eye contact with? Jorah, yeah, Jorah and Ghost retreat back to the front lines. Jorah makes eye contact with I said Jorah makes eye contact with Jorah in my notes. That is not what I meant.
No.
Jorah makes eye contact, I think, with Tormund, and he just looks like it's a lost cause. Like he's covered in blood or whatever they ooze, and
Yeah, I do want to add a couple of things in here because while this is happening, like this whole thing is happening, and there's this kind of wall of darkness that they disappear into, and then they come back. They had been, and this is part of like what they'd done. They created these trebuchets that were firing
oh,
fireballs, and they stopped doing that because they were going to hit their own people. The lights go out, there's silence. Jamie has never seen these people, the whites before.
a
Sansa hasn't
majority
seen
of
them.
them haven't.
Right. And so when you see the reaction, like, holy shit, what is this thing that this entire Dothraki screamer army that he's been so afraid of, Jamie's been afraid of, suddenly
Yeah.
disappears? It's like, Fuck, what are we doing?
I think that's one of the failings, and I don't think I mentioned this last episode, and I should have, but that's one of the failings of last episode, to like have that clear divide of who's actually seen the Army of the Dead and who hasn't. Because you have these people like Tyrion and Jaime being like, well, we're gonna die tomorrow. You don't know that. Like, I mean, they themselves have not seen the Army of the Dead, and like that's not the reason they have no hope. They've just heard what other people have said. And I think that it would make more sense if they were, maybe like on the downside, kind of like, maybe we're probably not going to live. But also at the same time, maybe have a little bit more hope and be like, maybe they're exaggerating. Maybe they're not as creepy and scary as they like are made out to be by John and all them. But I wish there was more of a clear divide between the people who went on that raiding party or are in the Night's Watch or whatever, and the people who hadn't, and then be a little bit more hopeful, and John just being like, we're fucked. Like, I mean, like, you guys don't understand. I can't worry about this whole king and like the Seven Kingdoms bullshit. I have death to worry about. Like, I just,
you don't get it.
You don't get it. And so, especially John and Tormund and Ed, like they, and Sam to a certain degree. Sam wasn't at hard home, so he hasn't seen the numbers, but he's definitely seen what they can do. And so I think that just in, oh no, actually no, Sam has seen the numbers, because they, at the end of season two, he saw the Army of the Dead marching.
I'm wrong. Like, Jorah comes back. He is scared. And we cut to Jon and Daenerys up on the mountain, and Daenerys is like going to get on Drogon. Cause you know, Jon's like, we got to focus on the Night King. We just have to kill the Night King. And she's like, you know, the dead are already here. And so she hops on Drogon. She wants to go.
I don't like Jorah, bro. Fire helps.
I mean, but they aren't using the fire well at this point still, which is really annoying. They all get poised. I'm talking about all like the Unsullied, the guys who are on their way back. They get poised for this onslaught, but of course they don't really know what's coming.
It's like, so holy, creepy. It's a lot like that in season six in The Door, when they're in that tunnel and they're all on all sides of the tunnel just barreling at you. It is fucking frightening.
It is terrifying.
They're running, they're like on top of each other, like they're kids who I don't know why I'm using this analogy, but they're like kids stacked on top of each other in a trench coat kind of thing. They're like just on top of each other, like just on each other's backs, just like grabbing for whatever. And absolute chaos. And it makes me wonder how certain people survived, but whatever.
we definitely wonder about that. But we get to see like Jaime saves Brienne in this. Daenerys starts burning basically indiscriminately, and you could be burning your own people. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, that was my concern. I thought about the fact, you're burning the people who are closest to the lines, but you're also getting very close to the lines.
Yeah, exactly. John kind of sees what's happening, and he joins in. He sees the generals at the wood line, and he heads back toward them to, like, I guess, try to burn them. But then out of the storm, you start to see like the storm gathering, and he's unable to see. So he doesn't really get
which
very much.
I find
that to be bullshit, but whatever.
I think that's also bullshit, but I especially think that it's stupid that especially John, who has made this discovery at like with them going north, that the generals control a certain part of the army. Obviously the Night King controls all of it, but they control a certain section of the army that they've turned. So I'm confused on why like the generals aren't a bigger part of this fight, because they have been totally fine with like being a part of things like at Hardhome, like just fighting people off at Hardhome. So they're not really afraid of that. Obviously they're here to protect the Night King because he's the one who created everybody. But I think that it's stupid. And there's this one shot later of the generals that's really cool. But I'm just like, you didn't earn that. You haven't been doing anything. You've just been on the sidelines, just kind of waiting for something to happen. And I'm so, I think it's so stupid of John and like anybody who has the means to go after them to not be going after them at all. I think it's dumb.
The storm gathers some more. Arya then turns to Sansa on the parapets and she's like, you need to get to the crypt. And you know, Sansa's like, but I can't leave my people. This is idiotic.
I'm like, bitch, what are you gonna do?
Absolutely nothing. And Arya tells her that you are not capable of doing anything. She hands her, I think it's Dragonglass dagger or something.
It's a Dragonglass dagger.
And Sansa's like, I don't even know what to do with this. And Aris does not say, that's my point. What she says is stick him with the pointy end.
I do love that line coming back, but I'm just like, what the fuck, Sansa? You should know how to use one of these.
Yeah, at least,
like I love how she's just like acting like she doesn't know how to use any, like, give her a rock and be like, what am I supposed to do with this? And it's like, bash their heads in. What do you think? And then it's just like, but she gives her a freaking knife with a pointy end and being like, what am I supposed to do with that? What do you think? Be creative. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, everyone gets enveloped by the dense fog that the White Walkers can magically produce somehow. But they've been shown to be able to do that before, so it's not like a new power, which I'm glad. There are some near misses. Like, Ed saves Sam, but then he gets stabbed afterwards and dies.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so awful.
It's sad. Sansa goes down to the crypt where Tyrion, Varys, I love that Varys is there. I mean, like, it makes sense, but I didn't think about it.
I didn't think about Varys at all in any of this. He's been such a nothing.
And then Missandei and Gilly are there. Sansa doesn't look hopeful. She's like almost crying, or she is crying when Tyrion looks at her and he's like, great, now we're fucking dead.
And Tyrion has a bunch of idiotic speeches in this. It's not right away.
That's later on.
It will be later. But Jon and Daenerys actually collide in the fog. It's like kind of like, oh great, now we're gonna take what dragons out of commission here. This is like ridiculous. We see
also pretending they could hear each other. Like, no, they're not.
Yeah, I mean, of course not. And then there is, they basically see that, like, they're losing, and there is the command to fall back to Winterfell.
Tormund makes the call.
Tormund does? Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And so they all start falling back into Winterfell. Grey Worm has his men protect the retreat. I love this so much because it's
that's so great of him. But then he has a weird moment later where I'm like, that's not in character for you, but fine.
Whatever. They rush.
Then I have a quick line of, in the Godswood, Bran feels a disturbance in the Force. Something he hasn't felt since.
Bad touching.
Where on the doll did the Night King touch you, Bran?
Right. So the whites are kind of, you know, they all kind of rush inside the trenches. Jon still can't see Daenerys, but he lands on the wall by the Godswood, and I'm thinking, why are you not doing more than you're doing?
I was so curious about that. I was like, he is there for a hot minute. I'm like, you are just watching this happen. You have a full grown dragon. Literally just swoop low and just go for it. Like, go for the people falling behind, like the army of the dead from behind, and make sure that there aren't people who can just like come up and like add to the numbers. Like, you have so many options, bro. Like, and the Ice Dragon hasn't even showed up yet. It's just a fog. Anyway, also, there's this great moment of, I will say this, I think my favorite part of this entire battle is Arya and the Hound. I think they're like the most consistently shown, which is very interesting to me. I love that they're focusing on that dynamic, but there are so many great moments between them. I'll just say that. This first moment is great too. They're like kind of, they're falling back. Everybody, like, their people are trying to protect the retreat. I think Tormund and the Hound and other people are like protecting, getting people inside and all that stuff. Like, Bran and Jaime are also doing that. And then the Hound is being like snuck up on by a white. And Arya, with like perfect aim, because of course she does. I love that this is coming back. Like, it's like the pilot. It's just like perfect aim. She hits the white, and he looks up and he sees that it was Arya that saved him. I love that he took the time to do that instead of just keep running, bro. But like, fine. It's a nice moment where he's just like, acknowledge the skill.
Well, and this is kind of that's one of many cool moments between them, like, throughout this battle, and I agree.
We'll talk about
right after that. We have Lyanna Mormont. We have these heroes, these people that we care about, and so Lyanna yells to protect the gate. And they're all trying to light the trench. So part of the signal, and they had talked about this previously, that Davos was supposed to wave torches to Daenerys, so Daenerys would know to like light the trench using Drogon, but they aren't able to do it because Daenerys can't see. The fog is too bad.
Yeah, one other thing is that Grey Worm, in a kind of an uncharacteristically weird moment, out of character moment, I mean, he decides to leave the Unsullied to their devices and then like just pull the bridge and like break the bridge so that the Unsullied cannot re like retreat,
That's weird.
and he's just leaving them to die.
Yeah,
Like, I don't think that's very on brand for him.
it's not all the Unsullied. I think it's just a
No, I
situation
know it's not
where
all of them,
not
it's some of
everybody
them.
can retreat. And so he's got to
But
make
it's
the
a lot
call,
of
which
them.
is it is more than you would expect. So Daenerys cannot see this whole thing with lighting the trench. So, they realize, oh shit, she can't see it. So they try shooting the trench with flaming arrows. The arrows go out. There are people with torches running out to like try to light stuff. They're all getting killed by the whites who are coming through the trenches. So Melisandre basically tells Grey Worm, I think, I can go and I can do it. And so Davos is like, yeah, let her do it. Melisandre gets like a guard protective,
This is the
Grey Worm.
stupidest shit I've ever seen.
It's so fucking slow.
She is a
Oh my God.
snail's pace. Like, what the fuck? You are just like, this is not your runway moment, Melisandre. This is a time of crisis. We need you to light those fucking trenches now. And
Yeah,
you
so
are
she
just
goes out
walking
there.
so slowly. It's not even in like slow motion either.
A
It's
sense
she's
of
acting like she's
urgency.
there
Sense
needs to
of
be some
urgency.
pep in your step. And
Yeah,
she's just
so
not doing it.
yeah, but so she does go up, she like grabs hold of like one of the pieces of wood and she's chanting and things aren't lighting and it's starting to look like she's not gonna be able to light this shit. And the dead are entering the trenches and they're crossing over and they're getting close to her. It's like, holy fucking shit. She can't do it. She can't do it. And all of a sudden, it all sets fire and it goes all the way around Winterfell, which is really kind of cool.
And the dead are kind of are stopped for now.
Right. And so, but it does not last very long.
No, we'll talk about that in a minute. Now
But
I
I
have to
do
go to
want
the
to say, I
crypt.
do have it all caps right around here. What has John been doing this whole time? What the fuck have you been doing?
Watching, mother, watching.
Watching
Watching for
what?
Bran. Well, he's
Not
watching
my
Bran do
watches me
nothing.
die in some bullshit. No.
Anyway. It is very quiet and awkward in the crypt. Tyrion mentions that he feels useless there. He's like, well, if I were up there, I could probably see something they couldn't. And first of all, no, there's fucking fog.
Yeah.
Second of all,
Second,
no, you're
you're a
fucking
midget.
stupid and you don't know anything about this shit. And he said, if I was there out there right now, and then Sansa just goes, you die. And I'm just like, yeah, you're right.
Thank you,
And then
Sansa.
Sansa has accepted the fact that they are down there because they can't do anything. And she's just like, fine, we're probably doing the best thing we can so that people are distracted by us. Like, because if the people who are like their husbands are there or whatever, if they're distracted with trying to protect them exclusively, it would cause more panic and it would be less efficient and less
Yeah.
effective. So then there's this great line of Tyrion saying, maybe we should have stayed married. And then Sansa says, you were the best of them. And he says, what a terrifying thought. And
Yeah,
I'm
it's
just
so
like, yeah,
great.
that is pretty terrifying.
Yeah, I do want to back up. Actually, right before this whole thing in the crypt, you get to see kind of a flash of the Hound who is having some PTSD. Like you can see
Oh,
like the
yeah.
fire being lit in the trenches is like fuck for him. I mean, he really does not handle any of that well.
Beric notices too.
Yeah, and Beric does notice it.
There's
And
also
they're all
another moment later on that's very similar that we'll talk about
yeah.
later.
So
Sansa says it wouldn't work out between them because of his loyalty to Daenerys. His loyalty, not his love, mother. And
Well, no, hey, loyalty is being divided would be a problem. And then Missandei, oh, I'm actually
this
this
is bullshit. This is
it
bullshit. She says,
is.
without Daenerys, they would already be dead. And I said, in parentheses, no. Daenerys just supplied the Night King with the ice dragon he used to knock down the wall in the first place. And if she w hadn't been an asshole to Jon and been like, we need to convince Cersei, you or Tyrion for doing that anyway on Daenerys' behalf, they wouldn't have gone up there in the first place to make the cause for like there being a dra an ice dragon in the first place. Like that came out wrong. But you know what I mean?
I
Like
know
she is the
exactly what you
cause of
mean.
most of this.
Yeah.
Her
So I do
stupid,
want.
her stupidity with John and all of that bullshit has caused a lot of problems with this plan,
Oh,
and they
look,
would probably
they
more people
could
would
go
be
on and on
alive.
about the stupidity here, but We are going to instead cut to the Godswood because Theon is aware that the trench has been lit, because of course the trench goes all the way around Winterfell, and he's like, the trench has been lit, like, we need to start bracing ourselves. They're coming, basically. And Bran tells Theon everything he, because Theon's kind of wanting to apologize, and Bran's like, everything you did brought you where you belong and where you are now, which is home. And it is so incredibly sweet.
Every interaction with Bran and Theon in this episode is great.
It's fantastic. So Bran then tells Theon, I'm going to leave you now. So what he's doing is he's warging into the ravens, and he does.
Fucking stupid. Why is he warging into ravens that can't see through the fucking fog?
Well, okay, also, here's the other thing. Like, it's not like he's reporting to anyone, so he can't. Fucking point.
He still warged. I wish that, like, I wish that this came about somehow. I wish, I'll mention this later if I remember. I wish he worked into someone or something else. Yes. I wish that he, like, worked into maybe the dragon or something else. Literally something more powerful than a fucking raven that can't see.
I want to, maybe this is the time to do this. And I recognize there's no good time to do it, so I'm going to do it now. All the visions that Bran had, we all saw as premonitions, right? Like, where, like, you see a dragon flying over King's Landing. So all of those things made us believe that when they would say things to Bran, like, someday you'll fly, they were talking about he would fly on a dragon or as a dragon. So even at this when I'm watching this the first time, I'm thinking, he's going to work into a dragon. He's going to work. Nope, none of that should happen. And Jon is nowhere doing nothing with the dragon he has.
He's watching over Bran, who definitely needs it right now.
I really thought that maybe Bran would warg into, like, Viserion and make it
I was thinking he would warg into the fucking ice dragon or something.
Yes!
And maybe he wouldn't be able to. I don't know the mechanics of trying to do that, but at the very least, he could try to, like, tap into Rhaegal or something.
Yes!
Where, like, when there are some moments where Rhaegal's not being used, and I'm just like, Bran, warg into him.
Yeah, do something.
Do anything.
Yeah.
Anyway. The whites then.
He just goes into ravens that do nothing. So the Night King. We get to see the Night King.
Yeah, we do briefly.
On dragon briefly.
The whites start to smother the fire by killing themselves and landing on top of each other in the fire. So
making
it's smothering
an undead bridge.
an undead bridge. Random undead bridge. Random undead bridge. And everybody starts redirecting their strength to protecting the walls of Winterfell. Most people are trying to get to the battlements to help out, to make sure that they can't get over the wall. It's very similar to Blackwater in that way, where it's just like, protect the wall, and then it will stand. Jon sees the Night King on the dragon and goes after him. At last, he's doing something. I think that's another thing. In this first half of the battle, they're not utilizing Jon to his fullest potential. And he's the one who has the most experience with these things. And I'm surprised they aren't using him.
I also, and I'm going to say this, I will probably repeat it in a different way later. Jon has been set up as much like Bran has. So Bran is kind of a foil to the Night King. So is Jon, because they've had that eye contact, that whole, like, you are my
Harry Potter bullshit
thing. Yeah. So you've been marked. And so that is something that I feel is underused in this episode. A lot more should have happened with that. I'm very unhappy about it.
I'm serious. The two people who have the closest, I wouldn't say relationship, but like the closest, not even kinship. What am I saying? The closest
antagonism?
Sure. the two people who have the closest antagonism, ignore the way I'm phrasing it. The people who are most tied to the Night King, their like biggest quest is tied to the Night King.
Yes.
Are Bran and Jon. Yes. Mostly Jon. And so
yes.
I'm shocked that they made
Jon's
certain decisions for this episode.
Fight for years. Sorry.
And Bran, who now has adopted that fight of in a different way, but in another way entirely, is also being antagonized by the Night King with the Mark, with all of the stuff, like the death of Summer and Hodor, and with Jojen, all of that. Like, so he also has a tie to the Night King in a way, in more of a Harry Potter way than Jon, but regardless, Jon and the Night King obviously have this antagonism like between them, and they do not use it enough in this episode. And I think that there were so many possible. I think another problem I have with this episode is they don't show off the Valyrian steel as much. No, because there are a few people there. I think all of the Valyrian steel is in Winterfell. All the Valyrian steel we've been introduced to that is available is in Winterfell right now. We just see people just hacking swords or whatever at Whites. They don't use any of it on the generals. Not once.
And I will say, and this will come up later, we find out which of these weapons actually work on generals or the Night King. And that is a very interesting thing, because obviously Dragonfire kills Whites, right? But it doesn't kill
her. Right. Yeah, we'll learn about that. More stress is put on the archers to stop the dead from climbing up the wall. They fight the dead climbing the battlements, like Jaime and Brienne are working on that, along with Gendry, I believe. And
there's a point, and it's very, it gets so little Gendry. I have this specifically marked, like, you know, White reaches, you know, one of the first Whites that reaches the top, Gendry just like hammers the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And I've got, go Gendry, and all caps. Yeah. Just a little of him.
The dead are jumping from the battlements into the courtyard. Like once they have gotten to the battlements, they just kind of jump off and they're like totally fine because they're like lemmings jumping off of a fucking cliff.
Like in Hardhome.
But they can regenerate, so it's fine.
Like in Hardhome.
The Hound is feeling overwhelmed, but Arya is being such a badass with her weapon. And Davos sees her being cool too. Davos is not doing shit. Like, I know he's not a good fighter, but try. Like, this little girl, compared to you at least, is doing so much more than you could ever do. And I think that's so disappointing that we don't see Davos fight once.
Right. And it is. But I want to say this too, because there's so much going on. Things cut in and out, and again, there's darkness, and you know, there's chaos, and there's all this stuff. We see Brienne save Jaime. Sam is out there, so Sam was supposed to be in the crypt, but Sam showed up at the front lines next to Ed and turned to him very early on, and was like, "Well, finally, like he knew he was coming. Like I knew you're going to be here." Sam nearly gets overwhelmed again. In the courtyard, he's able to escape it. The Hound is very, very frightened. And we see Arya fighting. She's got waif music now. Like, remember, like when the waif is chasing her, she's got that music as her theme now. So she is fighting her way across. She's killing all these things, and Davos is super impressed with her. And then we see the undead giant.
Yep, Lyanna is defending the gate at this point, and a random undead giant.
Fuck! Scary as fuck, by the
really
way.
Really scary. Busts through the door, or the gate, and much like 1-1 did in the Battle of the Bastards, but less heroic, he comes in and just push this bitch, slaps Lyanna aside, and is just kind of wreaking all kinds of havoc. Meanwhile, Arya's head gets knocked around, like she gets like hit into the wall by several Whites, and she gets a bit overwhelmed. The Hound isn't being hopeful, and Beric shows him what Arya is doing, and because the Hound says we can't beat death, and then Beric's like, tell her that, and because Arya is like sliding down one of the roofs to escape some Whites, and like just kind of pushing them off the roof, and then like climbing into the wind through the window of one of like the towers, and the Hound sees Arya sliding down, and he immediately goes to help her. It's right, so fucking sweet.
He's gonna fight for her, because that's someone who fights for. It's fucking awesome. I love the Hound in this.
Go ahead,
Lyanna. Then we see Lyanna gets up. She charges at the giant. The giant picks her up, and he's starting to crush her, and she screams. She's able to get an arm free and stabs it in the eye with dragon glass and kills it. And it's like fucking badass, you go, Liana shit.
She dies in the process, but she does. The Night King flies in on the ice dragon and attacks Jon and Daenerys as they're flying above the clouds. And then there's the sequence with Arya sneaking into the library and has to hide from.
This is scary shit. It's scary.
I like this, but at the same time, I think it's a bit too long.
It is, but it is super cool, and I understand why they didn't cut it. So
I understand why they didn't cut it. I think it's still a bit too long.
It is. So Arya has to go silently across this entire library. I think part of what their point is that now you have the undead in the walls, right? Like, they're everywhere. So she hears the undead that are walking around this library. She's got to be silent. She's able to succeed in a number of things. She hides under a table. They hear or smell or whatever the fuck they do her blood dripping onto the floor because she's been injured, obviously. And she's able to almost get out, and this one creepy thing almost stops her and she stabs it in the neck. But as she is getting out, they all start to swarm out after her.
From a different door, by the way, completely separate door busts open, and they start going after her, and then the people then the whites from the library are coming after her at the same time, and she's running down the hallway.
They've shot this in a really cool way where they've accelerated everything, initially, and I've seen this used in Marvel movies and stuff like that, and I think this is one of the first early uses of that accelerated motion, the accelerated running, fighting, blah blah blah. I think it works really, really well here for that fear, that adrenaline. It really does get that running well.
Yeah, then the people in the crypt can hear what's happening and keep watching the stairs to the door. Some men beg for them to open the door, but they get drowned out and probably die as they listen, which is scary. The Hound and Beric are going down the hallway to find Arya, they do find her. Arya gets pushed through a door, lands on her back and has a white on top of her. She's getting overwhelmed by it. Then the Hound, then Beric throws his flaming sword at the white to get it off of her. And the Hound gets Arya up, and they fight off the whites to a certain extent, but then it gets too overwhelming for them. And the Hound has to takes Arya away. And
picks her up.
We got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. And then Beric is being very okay.
Heroic.
Heroic, but also very, I don't know, the imagery is obvious, but he's striking a crucifix pose and getting stabbed by whites, by the way.
It's awful.
Yeah, and Arya's being taken away by the Hound, but they grabbed Beric in time to get to the Great Hall, they bar the door. And I'm also confused. How did Melisandre get in that fucking room, first of all?
No one fucking knows. The Lord of Light put her there.
Why are there... I'm so confused on how many whites are, just around the... One of my problems with this section is that the whites are... they're just in the... They're just wandering around a library, not looking for people to kill. Obviously, they're undead and all that stuff, but they have an objective. I don't know why they are just wandering around the library. But also, there are stacks of bodies in the Great Hall with Melisandre just there, and I'm just okay, so there are no longer any whites or any people alive in this scenario. But fine,
it's creepy. I don't know, but Melisandre is in there, and Melisandre then talks to Arya about,
first of all, they bring Beric in, and he dies. That's what happens first. Go ahead.
Right. But Melisandre and Arya speak, and they both recognize each other, and Arya's I've met you before, and she's like, yes, I told you that you would kill people, that you would close a number of eyes. She's like, you said brown eyes, green eyes, and Melisandre
and
says,
blue eyes.
And she's like, and then Melisandre says to her, as she does this kind of thing, kind of like Bran does sometimes, she'll quote people back to them, what do we say, the god of death? And Arya responds, not today, and she runs out into the night.
Here's my question. The Hound just lets her, not my question, but my statement about this. The Hound just lets her run off on her own, even though the whole idea of him going to find her is to protect her. I think it's absolute bullshit that he just kind of lets her run off and just stands there and is like, all right, I guess I'll stay with Melisandre then. Like, okay, what?
I don't know. And we don't know what happens with the Hound immediately thereafter.
And also, where does she go? What other door is there? Like, whatever. I don't even care. In the Godswood, the Wights are on their way. And Theon and the Greyjoys, and the Ironborn, sorry, they hold them off with arrows. They only have so many arrows. And I don't know why they didn't go with swords, but fine.
Or flaming arrows or something.
Anything, literally anything. The Ice Dragon's fire breaks through the wall of Winterfell, but Jon attacks awful. The dragon. Yeah. But Jon,
I do want to say this, in the fight between the Night King and Rhaegal and Drogon, Viserion got injured. And so
I was going to mention that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Fine. You're already bringing it up. Go.
So this ice dragon has an injury to the side of its face, so the flame is like going outside its cheek. It's kind of like, you know, you can't even predict which way the flame's gonna go. It's really kind of bizarre and scary.
Yeah, and then Rhaegal gets injured and is forced to land, and the Night King falls off the ice dragon, which is very funny. Like that imagery of him just falling and just kind of letting it happen. It's so funny. John gets off of Rhaegal, and Rhaegal's just kind of like down for the count, even though it's still, he's fully fine. Like,
yes, whatever. I don't understand this. This is a waste of a dragon. I'm sorry.
I know. Rhaegal is a waste of a dragon, which is depressing, but whatever. Anyway, John sees that the Night King landed not far from him, and Daenerys lands Drogon doesn't land Drogon. She's kind of hovering with Drogon, and Drogon lights the Night King's ass on fire, and there's like this huge like ray of stream of fire, and like it's enveloping everywhere around the Night King. It's doing all of that stuff. It starts to clear, and John's like, oh my god, did we do it? And then the Night King is still just standing there with a smirk on his face saying,
yes,
I didn't die, bitch. It's just so funny to me. Well, I love that Dragonfire can't just kill him, because while we were watching
Dragonfire can't kill him. He turns around.
Mom, can I talk about this for a second? Really? I know what you're getting to, but like, give it a second. There are other things going on as well. So I remember watching this and being like, that's way too easy. Like, there's no fucking way that this kills the guy. And I just wanted to wait and see how they were going to like bring that up. And just him smirking, like with this shit-eating grin on his face, is just the perfect way to do it. I love it so much. And Daenerys looks horrified, like, oh shit. I thought that was gonna work. And so John, while the Night King's kind of walking leisurely stroll to Winterfell, like John goes like up behind him and is going to like planning on attacking him with the Valyrian steel sword, which I'm so fucking disappointed. And I understand that there's only so much you can do with trying to show that John's a great fighter and all that stuff, and you don't want him to die. However, I wish that there was a sword fight between the Night King and John. That would have been so fucking cool.
Look, I would have loved.
Isn't the Night King like a stunt actor? Kind of like a Darth Maul thing, but cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I think Darth Maul is cool.
No, I didn't mean any disrespect to Darth Maul, but like Darth Maul got sliced in half.
True.
It actually is very similar to a Darth Maul.
Yeah, Night King keeps reviving, so that's the thing. But
God, even the horns, he is Darth Maul.
There are echoes of Darth Maul here, definitely.
Sorry, I didn't
but
mean
I
to
will say that so we see what we are able to see is that, you know, Jon kind of runs up, you know, tries to run up on the Night King. The Night King, and I really would have liked to have seen some direct encounter between the Night King and Jon, and we get fucked out of it. And this is how it happens. So Jon runs up, the Night King is kind of standing there smiling, and then he starts walking away. He throws a javelin.
He throws that at Drogon.
He throws it at Drogon and misses.
He was 3 feet in front of you. I'm sorry.
Jon then pulls Longclaw and chases after him. And the Night King finally turns and does the Night King thing, the thing that's scary as fuck. He raises his hands.
What I wish would have...
All of the dead, that include the dead Dothraki, that include the dead Unsullied, that include, like,
and
Lyanna Mormont.
And the people in the crypt who are already dead.
Which, you know, again, some part of me is like, what about Shaggy Dog? I mean, you know, do we have all Shaggy Dog's parts? Right. I mean, I don't know.
I will talk about that later. I'll talk about that later.
All the dead arts start reanimating. Lyanna, even Ed.
I said Ed.
Horrifying.
What I'd
and
like
generals to... come in at the gate. Yes.
What I wanted to say, first of all, that general, like, look, that cool shot of the generals where their eyes kind of glow in the mist. Oh, so cool. Wish they were used. I mean, like, yes! What the fuck? They have been used on every account. Like, one fought fucking Samwell Tarly. One of them fought John at Hardhome. Like, they are totally open to, like, just doing that. And that's
and
really
badass.
Cool.
They're badass. Badass.
And I think that it's so sad that they just don't use them. It's so stupid to me. And I think that they should just be, like, I don't know. They should be used, and that no one fights them. Like, I wish there was a Brienne or a Jaime or someone fighting, or Brienne and Jaime fighting one of the generals. Or can I finish the plot, please? Anyway, so also what I wanted out of this, and I like that the Night King raises the dead because it leads to a lot more drama later. But I also wish that there was a fight beforehand where he pushes John away to a certain, like, distance away. And when John, like, they fight or whatever, he doesn't get, no, neither of them get too overwhelmed. Maybe John does a little bit, but there it's a pretty even fight. The Night King somehow pushes John away, and while John is getting up, that's when he does the Night King hands, and it's just like, I'm not going to finish this with you because I know that I might not win, so I'm just gonna go over there.
Right, I agree, and I think one of the things we don't get to see too is we know at this point that while Dragonfire does not work on the generals. It does not work because
well, we don't know about the generals, but we know about the Night King.
We know about the Night King. It only seems to work on the whites. So we know that that Dragonglass does work on the generals because that's what Sam used. We know that Valyrian Steel works on the generals because that's what John used. So we know that some of these other weapons are available, right? We also know that very few people are armed with these weapons at this point in time.
And they don't use them.
They don't use them because, let's face it, the Hound, you know, aside from his dragonglass axe that Gendry had made for him, he doesn't have anything else that is usable on these bad guys, these serious bad guys. That's true with, like, you know, we've got Valyrian steel swords out there, and who has them at this point? We've got Jaime, Brienne,
Jorah.
John.
Arya has the dagger.
Arya has the dagger, but what else is out there? There's nothing.
Exactly.
There's nothing. So
there's a lot of dragonglass left.
Five that have Valyrian steel. You have a lot of the Valyrian steel, but not really, because you don't know how many people still have Valyrian steel weapons at this point, because you get so many dead, and then you have the undead that are now part of the army of the dead, and it's a huge fucking army that includes people that, like, you like a Benjen or somebody like that, like, you know, in a normal circumstance, if they had been stabbed with dragonglass, maybe they could have come back in the right time, but unfortunately we don't have that. We don't, you know, we aren't able to do that because nobody knows that that's what happened with Benjen. So, you know, there was no hope of that actually happening. So we've got all of this fucking army of the dead that is overwhelming. And if we thought the numbers were overwhelming before, it is way worse.
But they couldn't have done anything about, like, similar to the Benjen thing just by doing the dagger in the heart, because they needed the Children of the Forest's magic.
Do we know that?
Yeah, because Benjen literally said the Children of the Forest use the same, like, the techniques they use to make the Army of the Dead to resuscitate him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
we don't have any fucking Children of the Forest anymore. Thank you, Bran.
It is terrifying.
Anyway,
it is terrifying. But I will
right.
say, like, this is so cool. So the undead, where do I have it? What is this note that I have that I can't read?
I
So
don't
Danny
know.
gets thrown off. It is on in the Godswood. We got all this fighting going on in the Godswood because the generals have come in at the gate. The dead start breaking out of the crypts. It is
Here's
terrifying.
where I'm upset. You had every opportunity in the world to just bring back like fucking Rickon, or like, because Rickon, like they said, is buried right next to Ned, and no one visited Rickon's grave, by the way, which is fucked up. They spend
That
so
is
much
fucked
fucking time in the crypt, but they don't spend time next to Rickon's grave. Obviously,
up.
it's not marked yet. They don't have any stonemasons working on that for him. No, but like, I just think that it's so depressing that no one, like, everyone forgot that Rickon even died. Bran doesn't have a reaction to it because he doesn't talk about it. No one talks about it. Like, he
It's
died at
really
the end
sad.
of season six, and no one is talking about that. Arya's not like, hey, where's Rickon? Oh, John's like, not, well, John was there, but Bran's not even like, hey, did Rickon like not die? Like, I'm so annoyed that they don't bring up Rickon, and he's the least decomposed at this point.
That's true. That would be
And
true.
so I think it would have been fun to recognize him and
Right.
like have Ned like crawl, and obviously it would be a skeleton like CGI thing, but like Ned crawl out of his grave at
That
Sansa.
Ned being part of the army and then I can't deal with. No,
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 Sansa
no, no,
at
no, no,
Sansa.
no, 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 no,
Mom,
no,
can I
no,
complete a
I draw the
thought?
line.
Can I complete a thought? So I just think that another thing that is really disappointing about this episode is that there's no familiarity bias. Like there is, you do see Ed and Lyanna wake up. You don't see anyone fighting them. You don't have anybody be like, oh, I can't do that, it's Lyanna, or I can't do that, it's Ed. Like Sam fighting against an undead Ed would be insane.
I
I
can't
think
do
that that, what?
that. I can't do that. There's a lot going on in this episode already. I don't think I can handle it.
Well, just a brief like look. Like, I mean, you have so many like just random moments where it's like very obviously you can't do that with everybody, but I just think that it's a wasted opportunity not to have like Ned's bones coming out at Sansa or whatever. I don't know, something.
It's scary. It's scary anyway. Like I said, I don't think I could handle like Ned being part of the Army of
It
the
would just be a
Undead.
skeleton, Mom, and it would be sad, but whatever.
Okay, but anyway, so Daenerys burns down the undead that are around Jon. Drogon has landed. The undead then start, and she sits there for way too long, by the way. This is really
Know why
annoying.
she landed in the first
I
place.
don't either. So the undead then start crawling all over Drogon.
And she
And
waits way too
Danny,
long to realize this.
right, and Drogon starts shaking them off like flies, but he's
Well,
unable
first
to
of
because there are
all,
too many. And then
sorry, John says he's going to go after Bran. Go ahead.
and then Danny that gets thrown off of Drogon. The undead then start coming after her, and Jorah is able to come in and protect her. John then goes through Winterfell, and you see all of these heroes like fighting in different places. And as you there, they start playing, and it's I think it's a little bit later, what I call the Little Bird's Death Song, which is the one that they have from that thing where they
From the
blew up
montage
Septa
with the
Baelor.
Sept of Baelor. And I
Right.
also
So
would like to read my note really quick of Daenerys. Like she says, I say Daenerys forgets that dragons can fly and just lets Drogon get overwhelmed with whites.
It's just insane. So Jon goes through Winterfell, and we see all these heroes fighting. Theon is getting really, really low on arrows. He's almost down to one. Bran is still warging. Sansa and
Stupid.
Tyrion are holding hands, and they hear other people dying in the crypt. Sansa then pulls the dagger. That's how desperate she is. She knows she's going to have to actually use it. And you hear this little bird's death song. Tyrion kisses her hand. It's so incredibly sweet. Oh my God. The ice dragon lands and it starts blowing ice fire out of the side of its cheek. And it seems to be after Jon. Seems very focused on Jon. The Night King enters the Godswood.
Oh, it's so
I'm
good, but just
sure I
generals
do want
around
to do
him,
this
his
part. I'm so
posse.
sorry. I pardon me?
I just said with the generals next to him and his posse.
It's so scary. Jorah is like fighting, he's down. We've got all of our other characters. We've got Pod, we've got Brienne, we've got Sam, we've got Jamie. Theon is fighting off the whites, you know, to the extent that he can, and the whites then stop.
Can I do this moment, please?
Please, I really want to. So the whites then stop and they let the Night King through. Bran is then back in his body, and Bran tells Theon, "You're a good man. Thank you." And Theon realizes, okay, I'm the last man standing. I've got to do something. He then picks up a spear and runs at the Night King. And the Night King is able to dodge, you know, because he can see it coming. He's able to
Yeah,
dodge
he
the
would
spear.
not settle.
He's able to dodge the spear, and he breaks the spear and he stabs Theon. John is still, you know,
Can
trapped
I
down.
then do this part, please?
Okay, you can do the John part. I'm doing what's left in the God's will.
What? Why?
Because I am.
Mom. Whatever. Theon, yeah, that whole thing happens with Theon. John is dealing with the ice dragon who apparently can't melt stone. Jorah is defending Daenerys, who kind of uses him as a human shield. Like, there's fully a moment where whites are coming at them, and she pulls up Jorah just to get stabbed by one of them. And I was just like, Danny, are you serious? The Night King has long fingernails.
He
I
does. He
guess
is
the Clippers,
creepy.
Mom. I guess the Clippers would need to be dragonglass or Valyrian steel, so it makes sense. And then the Night King is making his way towards Bran, and they finally meet. John,
I'm doing
Mom,
this. I said I was doing this.
can I do the
What's
John
left
part at least?
in the God's will? You can do the John part and then you're
The
done.
most boring part of it? Thank you. John sacrifices himself to distract the ice dragon while yelling, "Go,
Okay.
go."
And then we see Bran, you know, making eye contact with the Night King. And you see him kind of looking past the Night King. It's almost like he's not making eye contact, like he's looking past him. There's a little bit of wind, and the Night King turns his head, and it's kind of like there's a little bit of wind right by the general, and Arya jumps up. Jumps down like she's jumping down on the back of the Night King. The Night King turns, he gets her by the throat. She drops her knife to her other hand and stabs him in the chest. And everything, the undead, everything collapses. Proceed.
Thanks. I would like to say about this moment, she's coming from the trees screaming and giving away her attack. Like, she was doing really well before. Like, just she somehow got past all of the whites, all of the generals, and got that close to the Night King, which impressive, good for you, I guess. But then you just jump down from out of nowhere and you just scream to it, like, give away your attack. Like, that was not a good idea, Arya, but I admire your focus. Then, yeah,
She's doing
oh.
it deliberately. I will say this, she's doing it deliberately to draw the attention away from Bran.
Oh, for sure. I also think that they just needed to let the actor, the actor for the Night King know that this like full-grown woman is going at him with a knife and needs to turn around right now. But I then the generals explode and all of the whites and the dragon fall down dead. Good luck cleaning that up. Bran doesn't even thank Arya. There's just a moment of her looking relieved and him just looking like nothing. And then Jorah falls down and succumbs to his injuries and dies in Daenerys's arms as Drogon lays down around them.
Say this about that. Like, there's this tableau. It's almost like a pietà
It's
of
definitely a pietà.
Daenerys and Drogon around them and Jorah laid out. It's like, okay, I'm
Yeah.
sorry. It's a bit
Yeah, and she's crying
much.
a lot. And I'm like, I get it, but you used him as
Yeah.
a human shield. What did you expect? And then Miss Melisandre walks out of. I hate that this is the last shot, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Melisandre walks out of Winterfell and takes off her necklace and crumbles into dust like Mother Gothel as Davos watches. And, like, that's it. That's the
Yeah.
episode. I
And
hate that
yeah,
that's how it
she
ends.
disappears. What were your best parts of this episode?
There are a lot of things about this episode.
Yeah.
Best parts, killing the Night King, obviously. Theon sacrificing himself makes me want to cry like a little bitch. Arya in general is awesome in this episode. Like, she gets a lot of cool moments of fighting, and she gets the library sequence, which is still a little bit too long, but whatever. Podrick is there, Gendry is there. The casting crew for putting this together, that is insane. This was a full-on movie. Stunt people for doing all this shit. That's insane. Lyanna has a great moment. The Night King's attitude. I love him being such a bitch and just like smirking at Daenerys, like, you thought that was gonna kill me, bitch? No. And the Hound protecting Arya, the music, Jon, and Melisandre dying. Those are my best parts.
Yeah, I've got a lot of best parts. I ended up just doing like some broad strokes that I started out, of course, Arya, fucking awesome. I love her anyway. I kind of mentally identify with her for whatever idiotic reason. The Night King, I think, is super cool in this episode. I mean, if
He
you're
could
gonna
have
have
been
a
cooler.
badass, he is like it as badasses go. All of these battle sequences are fucking amazing, and you cannot say enough for the extras and the direction. And even though it's dark, I really feel like they did so well with what they had. This is really great. I love Sam. I love the crypt stuff. I love the undead and the library, just because and I know that it goes on too long, but it's so super cool. These actors that are able to be like so fucking creepy. This is like the worst haunted house ever. Melisandre, actually, I love in this episode all of our heroes. I mean, I love like every single one of them for every moment they've got. I love Lyanna Mormont's death. I think it's beautifully done. I really feel like. And Jorah gets a really exceptional death, which I feel like is okay, and
It's
fine. But
expected. It's like
it's
it's how he was gonna die regardless.
right. But Lyanna Mormont, I'm so glad they highlighted someone from the North who is just like as hardcore as they come, and she's defending what she believes in. And I love that. So those were the ones I wrote down. What were your worst parts?
I also have quite a few. All the death obviously is sad. Sending people to the crypts was stupid, and I don't know who came up with it, and I think they need to be hanged. Jon not killing the Night King. I think that, how about this? I'm okay with him not killing the Night King. He should have at least fought the Night King. Like, he comes up behind him. Mom, can I complete my thought, please? They have him come up to the Night King and is about to attack, and then he just gets stopped by another bullshit thing. Like, I think that it would have been really fucking cool to at least see, because the Night King has a fucking sword on him. We see it constantly. He's about to use it on Bran. He's reaching for it when Arya comes out of the mist. So I think that it's really sad that we don't get to see him use it, because I know the Night King is a really cool guy, literally, and he really just needs. I needed more from Jon in this episode, because it is his battle that he's fighting. It's been Jon's battle. He's the one convincing everybody that it's true, and some people didn't need convincing, but like, those who did really needed to, and now he's doesn't really get much of a moment in this episode, and it's disappointing me. The this battle happening first, this should have been the last battle of the show. Like, I think that you should have dealt with the Cersei bullshit before. I understand the idea that you're trying to get everybody in one place, and it makes the most sense to stop them in the north first. However, I wish that they kind of like were retreating down to King's Landing, fought Cersei, and also made it more likely that they could win against Cersei with the army that they now have none of. Like, I mean, there are a lot of dead people in this episode, and there are a lot more people like who show up randomly in the next couple episodes of being like, we're Daenerys's army, and I'm like, bullshit. No, you're not. Like, you are dead on the battlefield if you were actually in the Dothraki army or the Unsullied, like half the Unsullied. So I that. Melisandre not putting some pep in her step really pisses me off. Like, she's like, I can do it. Or even Grey Worm was like, hey, can you do this? And she's like, maybe. And then she just struts on over there very slowly, and it pisses me off. Bran warging for no reason. And in parentheses, I say, at least warg into a dragon. I just think that's a waste of Bran's character. I think it would have been really cool if he had gotten like Drogon, who is now flying, getting whites off of him, like warg into Drogon. Use that fire or something to help somebody, or warg into Arya or something and be like, I may not be able to, like, he says it's not useful for a cripple, but if he works into Arya, he can still use that fucking knife. But anyway, regardless, I like that it's Arya in a way, but at the same time, I wish Bran had a more active role in this because he's also a part of this as well. The two people who should have been most active were the least active, which pisses me off. Arya in the library lasting a little too long. I still like it. It's just a little too long. I felt like I could have taken a bathroom break at that point. Not using the familiarity of the risen dead like Ned, Lyanna, and Ed. I wish that there was at least like Sam is just it, there's a moment like later on after they've risen the dead, and Sam's just like sitting there crying and like just like trying to fight off people, which is a fine moment. But it would have been better if he was fighting off Ed. Like, I mean, it makes the most sense. I don't know why he doesn't. Anyway, fewer major deaths. I think that it's absolute bullshit that this many people lasted this long. And I'm glad that there are certain people who are seen as like just tertiary characters, like a Podrick or Gendry, that are alive. And I'm very happy about that. I love them. There were more people who could have died. None of the Starks. None of the Starks. I'm good. The Starks are fine. And missed opportunities, just in general, like the fight between the Night King and Jon, or like all the stuff we've mentioned at this point. I think it's just disappointing that they didn't use certain. They had all of the opportunities in the world, and they used most of their time on Arya in the library when they could have been using it on anything else. And again, it's a fine moment. It slows down the pacing, and that's fine with me because it's really high pa fast paced. I just wish there was more like personal stuff or more personal stock in it for everybody, and not just like John and like them just being because they're gonna die or something. You know what I mean?
Right. So my worst parts, and I didn't write down all of them, but I want to respond to some of the things that you said. Like, there are personal things. Like, I really love the Tyrion and Sansa,
Oh
like,
yeah.
holy, and like, you were the best of them, that conversation. I feel like, and the showrunners talk about this, is like, you can't have just relentless battle after relentless battle after relentless battle. I agree with that, and I think that's part of what the Arya library scene does. Again, slowing down the pacing, that conversation stuff, those things that you're kind of like, yeah, but oh my God, what's happening outside? The problem is what's happening outside is so overwhelmingly chaotic that it is scary. And of course, my number one gripe with this episode is we don't have enough John. That makes me fucking furious. This whole show up until this point has been about John fighting the Night King. I mean, even in season one, that you have this setup of John fighting the White Walkers. It has been from the beginning the focus of this show. The fact that he doesn't get more in this episode makes me really, really, really angry for him. And I know that that's part of the reason that they're talking about having a spin-off series called Snow, whatever. Fuck it. It will never be as good as having Jon actually fight the Night King on some level, even if he hands it off to Arya. I don't fucking care. He needs to have that direct contact with the Night King in this episode because that's the opportunity he's got. And it is un. Fair to him as a character is unfair to us as viewers, and is unfair to the mythology that the books created and were continued into the show that we did not get to see John fight the Night King. I want to mention here this whole R plus L equals the prince who was promised, all of that was in the books, it's in the show to a smaller extent, but it's there. We've heard about the prince who was promised. We've seen that John is supposed to be that person. John has been like the fulfiller of all mythology. He's like the good part of the John Daenerys combo. He is the person that we actually root for. I am so
I'm sorry, that was just very
fucking,
funny.
it's true. I'm and we now know, of course, is the actual heir to the Iron Throne, which is what the Prince who was promised was supposed to be, the person who unifies the Seven Kingdoms, blah blah blah, all this stuff. He's supposed to be the person who kills the Night King, who saved us all from death, blah blah blah, all of it. And John is deprived of every single element of that in this episode alone, which makes the rest of this fucking series a waste of my time and makes me angry. And I'm gonna bitch through the discussion of the next three episodes because all of this is fucking wrong and it makes me angry. John should have had his shot. Even if he wasn't going to be the one who killed the Night King, he should have had his real shot at him, and he didn't. And he was fucked out of it by these showrunners. And I'm fucking angry, and I'm not over it. I'm not over it. However many fucking years later this is fucking wrong. I'm not okay with it. I have other bad parts.
Oh no, I was just holding up 5 years.
Yes, 5 years, whatever. Fuck it. Fine. Other things that I'm angry about, Daenerys being generally stupid,
Oh my God, I
and
didn't put Daenerys. I meant to put her.
getting all this fucking airtime, like, oh la la la, Jorah, fuck it. Like, Jorah's the most important person to you. Again, the mythology of the prince who was promised is that he is supposed to sacrifice, or she is supposed to sacrifice, the thing he loves most, which of course doesn't happen in this episode. Part of the reason I'm pissed, in order to defeat the Night King, doesn't happen. All of it is bullshit. Daenerys, the thing she loves most is fucking Jorah. Are you fucking kidding me? This is insane fucking bullshit. We have a pietà of Jorah? No. Fucking wrong. I'm not okay. I'm spewing. I'm spitting. I am not okay with this. I also don't have enough of this guy, my ghost. Ghosts should be in this episode more. I am grateful that we get to see him later, but not nearly enough. Ghost should have had a bigger role. I am
He
pissed
should have been in the
about that.
crypt.
Or something. I don't fucking care. I wanted more ghost. Not okay with it. What was your grade for this episode?
I would like to respond to a few of your things. Yeah, going forward, John gets jack shit. Spoiler alert. I think that that's such an like I wouldn't be happy about it, but I'd feel a little bit more at ease if he got this moment. Or if he got a moment in this episode that was really substantial, but he doesn't. And so I feel like he just gets fucked out of everything later. And we
Yes.
will bitch about it. We will bitch about it because John was the John, we're just gonna say it. I'm just gonna say it outright. John is a better character than Daenerys ever was. And
Yes.
I think that the fact that they wasted his character in service of her character is absolute horseshit. And I think that Daenerys, just in general, I agree, got way too much screen time in this episode because this is not her fucking fight. Like, I understand, like, there were way too many shots of her and Jorah fighting off whites. I'm glad she picks up a fucking sword and does some of her work herself.
Fucking nothing. It's not okay. It's not okay.
Anyway, my overall grade is probably an A, probably, because as much as we're griping over things, it is a good episode on its own. I'm still satisfied enough, except for the John thing, that I'm just like, okay, fine, whatever. Like, it's the way things are. I can't change that. I can, but when I first watched it, I had like the hope that John would get something better. But no, he doesn't.
Right, I gave this episode an A. I think it is an unbelievably well-constructed episode. It is such amazing work on the part of everybody who's in it. And I don't mean to diminish it by bitching about the storyline not giving enough to John. I feel deprived, and I think the deprivation going forward, and you mentioned it too, in the whole idea of this should be the last battle. I wholly agree with you. This is the only battle that matters. Everything else is horseshit. And the next three episodes, you're going to hear us talking about
this it's is horseshit.
And so I feel
there are parts of the next episode I like.
There are parts of the next three episodes that I like. Not a lot. There aren't not huge much parts. I haven't seen them in a long time because, of course, this is the only episode in the season I really, really love. So,
yeah.
I really, really love this episode. I don't want anything I'm saying here to take away from that. But I am so angry with the overall plot line, like, and not of the episode, but of the series being diminished by this twist. And again, I love Arya. I identify with Arya. I feel like Arya is an amazing character. And I'm not upset that she's the one who kills the Night King necessarily. No one killing the Night King is kind of cool. What I hate is Jon not getting his due. And he is, I still feel entitled to that. I don't think there's anything a spinoff show could do that would redeem the
fuck. They can't resurrect the fucking Night King. He turned into ice.
No, and there is fuck shit here. And I feel like that diminishes my feeling about the whole show. And I hate it because I love this show. There's so much I love about the show that is hurt by what happens going forward. So anyway, I felt like this episode was definitely an A. It's really well constructed. It's well done. It's well acted. My hats are off to the showrunners in general for creating an episode that is this amazing, especially as a culmination of all of the things that we want this show to be. I just hate what happens after so much that it's really upsetting me.
Yep.
Yep. Do you want to hear us bitching some more? I hope you do. Because bitching is going to happen for our next two Buzz Binging episodes.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
Hoping I can come up with some like mildly interesting drinks for this that aren't just like milk and toast. but
mostly milk.
Mostly milk left of your vanilla milkshake. I hope that
did you go with that voice? Mostly
I had a shot of fire and ice that was like, I don't know, four thimble fools. I don't know what the
fuck. No wonder you were interrupting me.
Hey, you were interrupting me, so it happens. Anyway, I hope that you join us. And
cheers.
Cheers.